As we look at the scriptures this evening and the message this evening, keep one thing in mind. It's all about Jesus. The Word of God, everything that we do, it needs to be all about Jesus. Because He's the one, He's the answer, He's the one that we need the most in our life to help us spiritually and physically and through everything that we are doing. Over in the book of John, if you have your Bibles with you, book of John, chapter 21, verses 4 through 6. I'm reading from the King James Version, but if you have your few Bibles or your Bibles with you, turn, if you would please, to John 21, 4 through 6. It's an interesting passage of Scripture. As I was looking at it and as I was studying this passage, some things came to mind that I didn't realize before, and I thought about, but I didn't really think about it in a sense that I really studied it to the point of an understanding the details about it. But John 21, 4 through 6, it says, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast a net on the right side of the boat, or of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of the fishes that they caught." Lord, we thank you this evening that we have your word, that we have the ability to open your word and to read it and to understand it, Lord, through your eyes. And we just pray for your guidance, for your help, and for your leading as we look to your scripture this evening, and we pray in your name. Amen. I don't know, maybe I'm different than most people, but the first thing that comes to my mind is, why did Jesus tell them to throw the net on the right side of the boat? I don't know, it's just something that seems strange to me. We're talking about Jesus. We see the picture that we see here is the disciples are offshore. It says they've been fishing all night, they haven't caught anything. They're within speaking distance of someone that might be on the shore. So they were fishing, and toward morning they hadn't caught anything. And all of a sudden they see someone on the shore, and that person says, "Do you have any fish?" Now, they didn't know it was Jesus. In that day, when the fishermen were out fishing all night, there were fish buyers watching the shoreline in the morning. And when the boats would come in to the shore, the fish buyers would approach them and say, "Do you have any fish? Did you catch anything, and would you be willing to sell it?" They would buy the fish from the fishermen as soon as they got to shore. So as far as they knew, this was just a fish buyer shouting from shore saying, "Have you had any fish?" So it says they didn't know it was Jesus yet. And as I looked at this scripture and as I found, I said, you know what? Their response to that request was what made the difference in the outcome of what happened here. Their simple response. Now, I don't know about you, but I really don't like someone telling me what to do when I know what I'm doing. I know it's a problem. The Lord's working on me. Here are professional fishermen. These guys have been fishing all their life. They know how to fish. They know how to get out there. They know how to go out. They'd go out in a boat. And by the way, the common boat that was used was about 4 feet high, 7.5 feet wide, and about 27 feet long. That's the common size boat. So it was big enough for some men to fit it. And they were casting the nets out and they were pulling them in. And that's the way they were fishing. And they were getting pretty close to shore. It was long about morning. It says they were fishing all night. And this guy is telling them, "Cast on the other side." Now, I don't know about you, but I'd say, you know what? What's the use casting on that side of the boat? Because if I was casting there or casting here, what's the difference? Now, in that day, they were using casting nets. They would use nets. We're familiar with another form of fishing. The form of fishing we're familiar with is line fishing. We all have stories of fishing. The one that got away, mainly. That's the one we really have the stories about. But if you're line fishing, the boat was 7.5 feet wide, plus the distance that they were throwing the net. If you're line fishing and you throw over there instead of there, I could see it and it'd make a difference. And by the way, I don't have any line on this, so you're all safe. It's been about 10 years since I've run one of these, so I wasn't about to start and try and cast on it with this thing. But when you're line fishing, if you throw that much of a distance, difference would make a difference. Because maybe there's a log over there or something. When you throw over there, you would catch a fish. But net fishing wouldn't make that much of a difference. If you're going to cast a net there, you're going to cast a net there. So why did Jesus tell them to cast the net on that side of the boat, on the right side of the boat? They must have been casting on the left side. And I was even thinking about that. I'm thinking, okay, if you're right-handed, then you would be standing on the boat, it would be throwing left-handed. So maybe that was why he said throw right. I don't know. All kind of things are running through my mind at this point. Why did he tell them that? He could have filled the net right where it was. All they would have had to say was just cast the net over the side of the boat and you'll come up with a net full of fish. They didn't know it was Jesus at this time. And if they had not followed that command, the outcome would have been completely different. They didn't know it was him. Through this all, Jesus is trying to teach the disciples something. Remember, this was Jesus after the resurrection. This was about the third time he showed himself to them. And he was still trying to teach them what they needed to do and how they needed to survive spiritually. So the title of the message is, What Are We Catching? What are we catching in our own spiritual life? And what can we learn from what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples here? I think some of the things that he was trying to teach him was listening and doing. That shows where our true love is, where our heart is, and it shows what our faith is in. Fishing has a lot of the same characteristics as walking with Jesus. Jesus uses this moment very effectively. After all, they didn't know it was even him, so they thought they were reacting to a total stranger. So what the reaction was saying was, this is the way I am in the real world. You want to know how somebody is in the real world? Take a drive with them. I was in the car with someone recently, and I just wished I could have got out. Wow. That's the real person. Jesus was experiencing the real person here because they didn't know it was him. If they had known it was him, they would have reacted differently. What did they do? They followed the instructions. Could have been a total stranger. They didn't know it was Jesus. They was a total stranger. They followed the instructions. And they simply threw the net on the right side of the boat and they come up with a net full of fish. They come up with their nets full. The main goal of the evening, remember, the main goal of the night was to go out to catch fish. They had caught nothing until Jesus blessed the waters where they would throw that net. If we're going to catch that blessing, if we're going to be able to go out and find what Jesus really wants for us, we're going to have to make sure that we're in the right place. Now remember, this is a lot like fishing. If we're in the right place, the right time, doing the right thing. Those are a couple of things. Plus, you have to soak that with patience. Something I don't have a lot of. But we need to soak that with patience because it's patience that allows Jesus to work in our lives and allows Him to teach us the things that we need. It's being in that right place, knowing that where we're at is where God wants us to be. And if we're there, we're going to get the correct results. There's blessing on holy ground where we want to be in God's place, when we want to be there in His time. The fishing that we talk about is also spiritual. Where do we catch what we're taking in? What are we catching? Where are we fishing? Our information. One of the things about information is, you know, the internet and my smartphone, man, I'll tell you what, it's just one of the greatest things I've ever had. Anything I want to know, I can just pull it up. It is one of the greatest tools that the evangelistic community can use. I mean, it spreads the word of God so much better and so much greater, reaches so many more people. It's a good thing. But we have to be careful. It can also be a bad thing. Because there's a lot of things out there that are not good for us. There's a lot of places where we're going to find God's Word that's salted down with worldliness. It's sort of mixed in there. You know, there's enough good in there to say, wow, this sounds great. I was talking to somebody at work a couple months ago, trying to find some Christians, you know, somebody that I can talk to. And I was talking to him, and I'm thinking, wow, this guy, he's in fire with for Jesus. And all of a sudden, he starts to come up with some things, and that sort of stepped me back. I think my jaw dropped. He starts talking about things sort of like witchcraft that were mixed in with the terms that we use as Christians. And I'm thinking, whoa, this isn't right. There's something wrong with this. If we fish in strange waters, we're going to find strange things. When I was about 10 years old, my uncle, he was a logger. Of course, we all was in that occupation at one time or another because that was what was available. He was a logger. So one time he said he took my brother and I fishing. I was about 10 years old. We were used to fishing in the freshwater lakes, and we were used to fishing in the freshwater streams for trout and things like that. He said, I'm going to take you somewhere, and we're going to go fishing in a different place. So we drove for hours, and finally we ended up in this big river. We were fishing, and man, we were catching rock bass and different things that we didn't normally catch up around our place. We fished all day, and then night came. So we were night fishing. And we had a Coleman lantern sitting here. And if you've ever been around a lantern, it casts a light for a short distance and then it sort of fades out pretty quickly. But there were some weeds right in front of where we were, and my brother was here, and I was here, and my uncle was over here fishing. We all had our lines in that water. Nobody was catching anything. It was boring. There was nothing happening. And the moon was out that night, but it was a little bit cloudy, and the clouds were moving across, and my uncle, trying to break the board, was all he was doing. He said, there's a cloud over there. When it covers the moon, somebody's going to get a bite. You know, he was trying to break the board for us kids. And I don't know, I think he was more surprised than we were, but whenever that cloud covered that moon, he got a bite. And he started reeling this thing in, and he's catching it, it's fighting him, and he's reeling it in. And the lantern just lit up the edge of the weeds right there, and when he finally got it in, he reached out and he lifted this thing up, and when it cleared the darkness and came into the light, it was about a 12-inch eel. And believe me, it was squirming and everything, and I'm 10 years old. I mean, you got to give me a little bit of slack here. But when I saw it coming up, I yelled, snake. Whenever I yelled snake, he jerked, and that eel came straight for him and almost went down his shirt. One thing about my uncle I learned that night, he has a high-pitched voice, and he screams really well. He threw his pole down, ran up the bank, and I'm sitting there looking at him. He's supposed to be the adult. If we fish in strange places, we're going to catch strange things. We don't know what we're going to catch. We don't know what's going to be out there. So we have to make sure that what we take and what we take in is from the right place. And that would be from the Scriptures. God's Word is where we want to find the truth. After all, Jesus tells us the truth will set us free. He also tells us that the truth is found in Him. We have to be careful not to go after what we want instead of what we need. You know, I often wonder, whenever Moses, they were at the Red Sea, the Israelites came to the Red Sea, and Moses was there, and he said, stand still, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And as I read the different things, and the Israelites were murmuring at him, I'm wondering if they weren't coming up with their own ideas. Maybe they were saying that they wanted to, maybe we should try to swim across. Maybe if we jumped in the Red Sea and tried to swim, God would give us the strength. Maybe we should make a run for it, we can outrun them. They may have been coming up with all different kind of ideas, and Moses was trying to pull their attention back and saying, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is the one we need to focus on. Jesus wanted the disciples to focus on Him. And when they finally got that net full of fish and they realized it was Jesus, they knew that because they followed His command, they had the victory. They won. They received everything that they needed. You see, they had a need there. They needed food. You see, they were doing that not for recreation purposes like we do. I go out for fishing for recreation purposes. They were doing it because it was a way of life. It earned them a living. So we have to be careful not to go after what we want instead of what we need, and make sure that what we're doing is what Jesus wants us to do. We're where we need to be. They were obedient to Him. A couple of things I found as I was reading and as I was studying, a couple of things I wrote down of what they really benefited from this whole encounter with Jesus was that before Jesus walked on the water and went to them, now He was on the shore telling them, I'm here for you. I'm never going to leave you. Even though we might feel lost, even though they may have felt frustrated, in their frustration, there is joy with Jesus. We will find blessing when we least expect it and where we least expect it. Remember I said about that a command from someone they didn't even know who it was? Might have been a fish buyer for all they knew. We will find blessing when we least expect it in the places that we least expect. We have to always be aware and be constantly in focus and focus on Jesus. He is closer to us than what we think He is. It's great to know that we have a Savior that is closer than we ever think He can possibly be. Christ supplies their needs after they admitted their need. If you go read back over to Scripture, we'll find He says, have you any fish? They had to say no. That's hard to admit sometimes that we failed. It's hard to admit sometimes that we have come up short. But Jesus wants us to admit that so that He can fulfill that. He wants us to be honest with Him. He wants us to be genuine with Him. He showed them that His ability to provide if they were obedient to His word is unending. There's no end to what He can do. And even the little things count. You know, as I look at His disciples at this point in life, and I try to envision myself in the boat, looking at the shore, and I'm thinking, you know, Jesus knew they would need the absolute best support system that they could get. He knew they would need the best, because what they were about to do in spreading the gospel was hard work and dangerous work. Jesus knew that He was the only one that could support them and supply everything that they needed. He was trying to teach them, and they did very well by responding in the way they responded. Because had they dug their feet in and said, you know what, we're professional fishermen, and throwing a net on that right side isn't going to make a difference, they would have missed the blessing that Jesus had for them. If we follow that will, if we do what He tells us, then we can end up with something beautiful. Jesus is the pattern for our life. He sets up that pattern. You ever do a paint by numbers? Pretty neat. Get them paint by numbers. They got the numbers and lines. Don't look like anything in the beginning. Looks like a bunch of scribble marks with numbers and stuff on it. But you start opening the paints up and you say, okay, this is white is number one. So you go around there, number one, you start putting that in, and you start getting, okay, number two is yellow, so you go around, you start to fill in these holes between the lines. And what you end up with is a beautiful painting. At least I think they are. Because it's something I did with a straight line, you know. It's like, this turned out really well. He has that pattern for our life, and what we have to do, what we're doing is filling in, allowing Him to give us what we need. Ephesians 4:14 warns us, don't be carried about by every wind of doctrine. Don't be pushed around by everything that comes down the road. We need to be anchored in what we believe. What do we believe? We believe in the Holy Bible. We believe this is God's Word. Before I was a Christian, whenever the Holy Spirit was convicting me, we lived in a mobile home. It was an older, the first home that we lived in. It was right after we got married. And when we got married, we got this Bible. I didn't own a Bible. We got this Bible. It was about this big, about this wide, about that thick. It was a big, big Bible. And the Lord was convicting me, and I said, okay, Lord, I can't come to you and accept you until I read the Bible. So I decided I was going to read the Bible from cover to cover first, and then I would consider accepting Jesus. So I opened the Bible, started in the Old Testament. The begats and all the history. And I have no idea how far I made it. All I know is in a couple weeks the Bible ended up under the couch. So I pulled it out from under the couch and I tried to read it again and I started trying to understand it. And finally one day, it was like a light bulb came on inside of me and I said, you know what? How do I know this Bible is even true? I was trying to get out of this conviction. How do I even know this Bible is true? And I no sooner thought that, yet I can tell you it was almost an audible voice. It was in my inside me that was said. It was almost like an audible voice. The Holy Spirit says, because God said it is. God said it is. Guess what? The conviction just back on me again. I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't get away from the idea that this is the Word of God and that we need this in our lives. And we have to be careful not taking in something that is filtered down or salted down with something that is other than what Christ has given us. He says His truth will set us free. You know what really, and His truth does set us free. And what sets us free is that truth and believing that truth and doing what Jesus wants us to do as Christians. Once we have this established in our life, once we have Jesus in us, we can begin to reach out to others. We can begin to help others with our very lives. How do we make a difference in a place where nobody thinks what they're doing is wrong? There's so many people out there that don't believe they actually need help. They don't believe that they're dying in sin. They don't believe that sin is bad. There's so many people out there, places out there that are trying to make sin look like truth. How do you reach those people that don't want to be reached? The unreachables, or they would say, but how do we reach them? We reach them by being like Christ. By being different. People can see there is a difference. We reach them when we can reach out and say, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to help you. We reach them by letting them know that there's something different. I work in a place where I have to be different, and it feels like I'm the only person that's different. You know, I'm the only person that's a Christian, and I look different than everybody else. It's a hard thing to do. But you know what? People are starting to recognize. They're starting to see, why don't you swear? Why don't you do the things that other people do? Why don't you stop at the bar on the way home from work? Why don't you do these kind of things? Because Jesus delivered me from that stuff years ago. And Jesus is the answer. He can help you too. We need to make sure that we are where we need to be, that we're in the right place at the right time, not out fishing for eels. God is genuine. The Bible is our source when we recite the Lord's Prayer every Sunday, we ask for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're inviting God to come into our lives. We're inviting Him and saying, Lord, come in and make a difference. Make my life, make this place, make the earth as it is in heaven. Saturate it with your will. We seek for His will in our individual lives for a reason, because He holds eternity. He holds eternity, and a decision we make for or against Him determines where we're going to spend eternity. Without truth, we really don't have anything. Without truth, we're just floundering in sin. Because Jesus is the pattern that we need to compare ourselves to. He is the absolute truth. And as I look around today, I think it is sad that people are getting so far away from Jesus that they believe there's no way of coming back. But there is. If we simply reach out to Jesus, He will reach out to us. The disciples, whenever they decided they were going to go fishing, they decided they were going to spend their time constructively. You know, they weren't just going to sit around on shore and do nothing, be bored as they waited. They decided they were going to do something constructive. They decided they were going to go fishing. They went out all night and didn't get anything. But when they got to shore and met Jesus, they got everything. They got their net full of fish. They got the meal that they needed at that point. They got the sustenance that they needed. Over in Ephesians 4, 6, Paul said, there's one God and Father of all, above all, through all, and in us all. There's one God. He is the one that we need to look to. What are we catching is the question. Are we catching the things of the world? Are we catching that worldliness? In a world that's trying to make, as I mentioned, in a world that's trying to make truth look like, make truth look like lies, and lies look like truth. How do we survive? Jesus' words says that in Him is truth, and the truth is going to set us free. We need to be alert and responsive to God so we don't miss the answers that can be right before us. Because doing something and doing something for Jesus is different. The disciples were doing something. They were fishing all night. But when Jesus said, throw the net over the right side of the boat, they were doing something for Jesus. They were following His will. They were following what He had given them to do. Are we catching that hatred and the anger and the division that's all around us? Are we knitting the world's ways into our Christian life? You know, I studied years ago, one of the commentators that I was reading said, you know what? Christians are actually Christ-like. That's where they came from. The name comes from. Christ-likeness is a Christian. Do we have that Christ-likeness, or are we in knitting in that worldliness and making us what we think we should be? There was a pastor. He was on a plane coming back from a seminar. He was tired, and he just wanted to go home and rest. And a gentleman sat down beside him, in a seat beside him, and they started a conversation. And the man beside him said, what do you do for a living? And he said, I knew. I knew this was not going to go well. He said, I am a minister of the gospel. And he said he could see that man tensing up. He said, I don't have much for ministers. I don't have much for God. My family members have cheated me. My family claims to be Christians, and they have done all these things. And he started rattling off the different things that his family had done. And I really liked his response. He said, I'm really sorry that your family disappointed you and that they acted Christian, but they did not. But he said, I can guarantee you that there is a genuine Christian experience to be had. A genuine relationship with Jesus that will change your life and that will save your soul. And he said, when he said that, the man calmed down and they began to have a conversation about eternal life and about Jesus. There is a genuine Christian experience. There is hope in this tattered world that we're in. But we have to be obedient to the Lord. We have to follow the commands that God gives us. We have to follow His Word. We have to be able to know by faith that Jesus is there with us. Jesus is our Savior. We have to be consistent in our efforts. And when we're consistent in our efforts, our tries to reach out to others, when we're trying to reach out to others, will not be in vain. When we're consistent in our Christian walk, we can know that the end result is going to be of the Lord. He can do all things, and the end result is going to be His. We need to be consistent. We need to listen to Him. Because there is accountability. In a world that tries to write everything off, blame everything on everybody else, there is an accountability to Jesus that we will have. So what are we catching? Are we catching that Spirit of God? Are we catching the Word of God that is out there? Are we experiencing the full love of Jesus in our lives? I've been carrying this thing around for probably 15 years. Everyone's familiar with it. But I want to read it tonight because it says a lot about what Jesus was telling the disciples right here. One night a man had a dream, and in his dream he reviewed the footsteps he had taken in his life. He looked and noticed that all over the mountain and difficult places that he had traveled, there was one set of footprints. But over the plains and down the hills, there were two sets of footprints, as if someone had walked by his side. He turned to Christ and said, "There is something I don't understand. Why is it that down the hills and over the smooth and easy places that you have walked by my side, but here over the tough and difficult places, I have walked alone. For I see in those areas there is just one set of footprints." Christ turned to the man and said, "It is that while your life was easy, I walked along your side. But here where the walking was hard and the paths were difficult was the time when you needed me most, and that is why I carried you." You know, I could tell you countless times when He carried me. And He can carry you. And He will. Jesus was telling them, "You know what? I'll carry you. Trust me. Do what I want. Follow my will. And all the things that you need will be added." Don't be so concerned about themselves, but be concerned about the things of God. There is a message there for us all tonight, that when we are out there trusting, seeking, struggling, when the seas get rough, you can look and see that Jesus is still there. In the times that we feel alone, Jesus is there with us. We need to be close to Him and stay close to Him, stay close to the Word of God, and allow Him to guide us and direct us and teach us and show us the way. Because there are times when we all need carried. There are times when we need to reach out to others and we just don't have the words. That we need to reach out to people and souls that are in trouble around us and say, "Lord, how can I help them?" With Jesus in our hearts and in our lives, we can be that difference that they need. We can be the person that we need to be, but only with Jesus. Be careful what we're catching. Be careful what we're experiencing. Be careful what we rely on. Because the things of this world are going to fall apart. If we rely on money, it's going to be gone. If we rely on our health, it too will leave us. But if we rely on Jesus Christ, we can have the hope, the peace, and the help that we need for our everyday life, no matter what. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank You for Your direction and Your guidance and Your help in our lives. And Lord, if there are some here tonight that need to experience You in their hearts and in their souls, Lord, I pray that You'd help them to open themselves up to receive You and to accept that free gift of salvation, to accept the help that You have for each one of us, to accept the guidance that we have, and help us, Lord, to focus on You and to keep the main goal to be a follower of You. Lord, we thank You that we have this ability. We thank You we have Your Word. And we pray for Your direction, Your peace, and Your joy to be in the hearts of everyone that is here. Help us, Lord, to reach out to those who are lost and direct them as well right to You so that You can make a difference in their lives. And we pray in Your holy name. Amen.